Welcome to KiteLine, a weekly radio program on WFHB that focuses on issues in Indiana's prison system and beyond.
I'm Emma Johnson.
And I'm Mia Beach.
And we're your hosts for this program.
Behind the prison walls, a message is called a kite. Whispered words, a note passed hand to hand, a request submitted to the guards for medical care. Illicit or not, sending a kite means trusting that other people will bear it farther along until it reaches its destination. Here in KiteLine, we hope to share these messages with you across the prison walls.
We begin this week's episode with news from the National Prison Strike. On September 18th, prisoners in Merced, California made this announcement. Block 4 of the Merced County Jail has joined this hunger strike in solidarity with our people. This is what tackling the criminalization of our people looks like. Earlier this month, prisoners in Holman, Alabama, one of the focal points of the national strike, announced that the prison administrators had withdrawn guards and taken other action in order to foment violence among prisoners in an effort to break the strike. They made this announcement. On Saturday, September 17th, 2016, the men at Holman Correctional Facility held the first Universal Peace and Unity Summit, in which it was established that there would be a no-standoff policy. All street organizations, Bloods, Crips, Growth and Development, and SBs have vowed to respect the policy for the sake of all men housed at Holman. Since then, there has been no violence. Free Alabama Movement has taken on the responsibility to provide protection for one another and to resolve all disagreements, as the Alabama Department of Corrections has abandoned their duty and responsibility. So if you have a loved one at Holman Prison, you could demand answers from Commissioner Jeff Dunn and his staff. 334-353-3883. On September 21st, another report came in directly from a prisoner. Just 10 minutes ago, members of the riot team and warden entered C-Dorm and attempted to confiscate a cell phone from a prisoner, and the whole C-Dorm rose up and forced them out of C-Dorm. The resistance at Holman Prison is strong. Regarding solidarity from the outside, he had this to say. We feel it. No one folks got our back. From Washington State, word came in regarding a protest at the Washington Correctional Center for Women. Here is their statement. I would like you and supporters to know that there was a symbolic protest at Washington Correctional Center for Women in Gig Harbor on September 9th. Three women refused to go to work in the prison library. The emergency response team was dispatched, and the women were taken to segregation. At their hearing last week, they were given 20 days in seg and are facing reclassification and probably the loss of their jobs. In my opinion, this was a peaceful, nonviolent expression of their opinions meant to draw attention to the issue of prison labor, and the response was much more disruptive than the event itself. The library has been closed since September 9th. Earlier this month, Chelsea Manning won the ability to begin her gender transition through a 4-day hunger strike. While that is a huge victory, she says that's been overshadowed by the possibility of indefinite solitary confinement as punishment for a suicide attempt earlier this year. She attributed that suicide attempt to gender dysphoria and the prison administration's efforts to block her gender transition. She is defending herself this week at closed hearings in relation to charges based on that suicide attempt.
This week on KiteLine, we devote an entire episode to our friend Marius Mason, a former Bloomington resident currently serving a 22-year prison term for acts of ecological defense. We'll hear from various people who know or have been affected by him, talk to members of his support crew, and hear music written and performed by Marius himself.
My name's Lisa, and I live in Philly, and I'm part of Marius Mason's support group. I guess to know about Marius, the best way to define him for me is talking about his actions. In 2009, Marius Mason was charged with 13 counts of arson and property damage in relation to fire set at Michigan State University, as well as the destruction of logging equipment and the property of a mink farmer. The MSU lab arson was an attempt to destroy research funded by the U.S. Agency for International Development and the biotech company Monsanto that was developing genetically modified seeds and crops. The ALS communique explicitly states that farmers in less westernized countries are coerced into giving up sustainable agricultural practices for reliance on the biotech industry, and that genetically modified seeds and crops are a threat to human health, cultural identity, biological diversity, and ecological integrity. Marius was sentenced to 21 years and 10 months for his actions. No one was physically harmed, but the state was able to elevate his sentence with domestic terrorist charges, meaning he will serve his sentence in full with no chance of parole. With 14 more years left in prison, he remains an unapologetic, self-described arsonist, committed to earth and animal liberation. Right now, Marius' situation is that he's located in a federal detention center in Texas. So he is doing his time at Carswell's medical unit. Marius has specifically been designated into this unit because he's considered a threat. The unit itself describes as being for prisoners who are considered a danger to themselves or to others, or have made attempts to get out of prison to escape. Marius's unit is a unit of 20 people, and right now there's nothing that Marius needs more than gender-affirming letters and books. Marius came out as trans in 2014, and since then he's been struggling to transition while incarcerated. He's hit every roadblock imaginable, and I hear from him most is that he just needs to talk to people about what it means to be trans while incarcerated. And so I really stress that people should write to him and talk about themselves and explore how he's feeling, and send him books and poetry and music, anything that shows him that community lives out here for him. And, you know, just nothing sexually explicit is really important. I mean, I know so often what we see in the queer community in terms of writing can be sexual. But, you know, even if you come up with an article about someone's trans experience somewhere and it might have a sexy picture in it, just remove the picture. But that, you know, that's really, it should be allowed in. And just keep on pushing, like just keep on sending articles, keep on sending books, keep on sending letters, and know that he may not get all of it, or he may not be able to respond, but that it really means a lot to him. I spoke to Maurice on the phone today. He talked about how he talks to people who are in his unit, which, you know, again, it's only a unit of 20 people. So a lot of the people he's on the unit with are people that he's somehow really close to, at the same time so far away from. And they have people who are designated for his unit in terms of correctional officers. And he says that sometimes he has conversations with people about his gender presentation, about his pronouns, about his name. And they say, yeah, I get it. And then they just don't follow through. And so he thinks every day that he's making headway, and he really isn't. And that he sort of moves inside of himself, and he ends up sort of falling back on the letters and the books that he gets from the outside, because that's all he has. He doesn't get to go outside necessarily. It's just a concrete block that's elevated from the ground, and it's surrounded by fences on all four sides and the top with razor wire. So Marius, he hasn't been able to touch grass or a tree in the 7 years he's been incarcerated. One thing that comes up a lot in his letters is how harmful the space that he's in is, that so often people on his unit self-harm. That means that his whole unit is on lockdown for extended periods of time. And what's really sad about that situation is that so often the response to people's self-harm is just dealing with it in that moment, but not helping people work through whatever it is that they need. So not offering mental health services. So the space that Marius is in is, again, it's a 20-person unit, and a lot of the people who are on his unit are dealing with some serious mental health problems. Marius says that the echo alone will drive you crazy, because it's just this concrete block that he lives on in this very tight space, and sometimes two people to a room. I mean, I've been in that space, and it's hard to hear him over the sound of our voices speaking. And I can't imagine what it's like to live like that every single day.
I've recently had a chance to speak with some people about the ways in which Marius has affected them. Let's hear from those folks.
When I first saw you ducking down under and through police lines parted, then holding hands, our human chain made its way through to the other side, across the line, risking arrest to make our statement. We want life for the children, for future generations, for all living things. We want life, not more nuclear weapons. With simple courage, you took action that helped to make our voices heard. Then, so many years later, to see your spirit in action again, giving nonviolence training workshops and prepping to protest the World Trade Organization in Seattle. When gas masks and medic training were necessary to exercise our rights to assembly and free speech, to protest the corporate takeover of our planet. Greed above humanity, profits over people, workers' rights, and the environment be damned. Though I may not agree with every choice or tactic taken, I know it resulted from genuine concern in caring for our common plight, for the preservation of our one and only home, our beautiful planet Earth. to risk so much, not in quiet desperation and never in resignation, but knowing it is past time to take action, however imperfect our steps. It is now way past time to take action for our very survival and of all life on planet Earth. And now on the first day of autumn, I hear the breezes whispering through the leaves of the forest trees. We still remember you here.
This is John from New Zealand. Why do I love Marius? In the past couple years of writing to him, Marius has been nothing but positive, friendly, absolutely giving of advice and experience, especially around being a parent and a radical. So yeah, that's at least one reason why I love Marius. So all my love, keep on keeping on. Peace.
I believe I've only met Marius a couple of times, but I do remember in 2005 going to the Earth First Organizers Conference in Tucson, and Marius was there. This was before he was incarcerated. And we were just getting Mountain Justice Summer going that coming summer, and I remember him coming up and talking to me and just sharing a lot of awesome advice. You know, he'd been at this stuff for years, and I was relatively new at that point, and like related some of the things they've gone through with their struggles against wire privatization in Detroit and all that. So yeah, I still like cherish, even though I never got to know Marius super well, I cherish that conversation I got to have with him and appreciate the knowledge that he imparted.
A former prisoner who recently completed nearly 10 years in federal prison had this to say.
I think Marius's case was huge insofar as being able to see what happens when the government comes at you with saying that you're going to be doing 60 years or some extravagant amount of time and utilizing that as a piece of coercion to get you to sign a deal so that they don't have to go to court. Marius's case is also like a huge perspective on trans issues. People in prison having to dance with a huge patriarchal, ugly, toxic environment while not fitting into the binaries that are created by that toxic environment. I think Marius's artwork is amazing, and his writings are beautiful. I mean, so many times it like brought to tears when I got copies of his writings when I was in. Finally got to write him when I got off of paper, so that's awesome. His case was very remotely reported on, like so many other eco cases as well. And it also reflects on how further marginalized transgender folks are in the culture. It's easy to suppose that Marius being a transgender person impacted the publicity that he had and still does not receive.
Hey Marius, this is Panayoti from Florida, thinking about you and as always missing you, and I can't wait to hear from you. I'm here at the Bend the Bars conference in Ohio, and you know, just constantly inspired to continue doing this work to build a base of support for prisoners and in the context of our shared vision of defending the earth and freedom for all people. So, you know, thank you for continuing to inspire us, and stay in touch, stay strong. We love you.
An anonymous friend in Bloomington writes, "Thank you for adding to the continuum of struggle and resistance in the Indiana Midwest area. When I look for inspiration and motivation, especially from a more local and regional context, your name is always in my thoughts. Again, thank you, stay strong, and freedom to the prisoners, destruction of the state."
Marius, your words and deeds have given me a much-needed reason to get out of bed on the days when its gravity feels boundless. Though I don't even know the sound of your voice, I can still feel its reverberations in this strange little town that we've both called home. Your name is scrawled across so many walls, sidewalks, picnic tables, and street signs. And now there is an old silkscreen print of Marius Alexander Jacob hanging at the info shop with a dedication to you. How strange it must feel to be dearly missed by those you've never even met. I know it might be hard to see from your vantage point, but there is something real brewing inside and outside the walls that divide us. I honestly can't say where things are going right now, but there's no denying that things are about to explode again. I can't wait to tell you more. Wish you were here.
This is Cindy Crabb. I write the zine Doris and other things. I never met Marius face to face, We became friends after he was already in prison. I really am so grateful for Marius's friendship. We've written for years, and he's always a really great pen pal, a really great friend, someone I can talk to about all the personal things that are going on in my life, the exciting things that are going on in my world, my political struggles and political interests, and also just all the funny stories about the farm I live on. He has a great sense of humor, which always shines through, which I just love so much. And I really appreciate being able to feel connected to someone who is so committed to creating a better world, so committed to all the neglected parts of our struggle, the ways that people can connect to each other, which are sometimes sort of put to the side in favor of like a dogmatic flag-wagging kind of politics. Like, Marius really sees the connections between the different issues and really focuses on the beautiful parts of people and the tiny little parts of our world, our ecosystem, both in the natural world and in the human world, that make up this vibrant community that we live in. I really appreciate his vision so much. I appreciate his bravery, both in facing what he's facing on a daily level and also in the bravery he shows and taking on new interests, making all these beautiful portraits, both of trans heroes and trans people, heroes and heroines, and also his beautiful animal paintings. And I just really appreciate his commitment to creativity, his commitment to trying new things and not being afraid to put it out there before it's perfect, you know, making invisible things visible. I just really love Marius.
Peter writes, I began working to defend and support Marius because he was a dear friend and a close comrade in many struggles for peace, social, and economic justice. Plus, we both worked on Detroit's Fifth Estate anarchist magazine. We faced off the cops together many times, so when he received the harshest sentence ever meted out to an environmental activist, myself and other friends immediately came to his defense. We began campaigning to overturn his unjustified sentence and then move him from the extremely restrictive and repressive prison unit he is currently in. When Marius announced that he was transgendering, we immediately focused on that as our major focus of support. But just as we and Marius placed his sentence and circumstances of incarceration in a larger context of the nature of the American prison and injustice system, we and Marius bring attention to what all trans prisoners suffer as incarcerated persons. January 22nd was initiated by Marius as a yearly Trans Prisoner Day of Action and Solidarity, just as June 11th is recognized as a day of solidarity with all long-term anarchist prisoners. Marius grows as a person daily through his studies, painting, and music, and remains a comrade in the struggle, although confined under the strictest conditions. My work and that of his other supporters will remain until he is released and granted his request for completion of transgendering.
Hey Marius, this is Robin from Lexington, Kentucky. I just wanted to say that your acrylic painting was super inspirational. I love that you are so intent on making art that you will create supplies out of nothing. I think that's beautiful, and it showed me a lot about you as a person. So thank you for inspiring me.
Hi, my name is Clayton, and I've been friends with Marius for a while now. We started up our friendship as pen pals, and we immediately hit it off at both of us being parents, and we ended up talking about our kids a lot and learned that we have just a ton in common around our values, around parenting. And the thing that struck me the most about Marius as a friend is just how generous he is. He always manages to be there for me and to be super supportive despite being in prison, especially in a really restrictive unit that has a lot of restrictions on communication. I think the one example that really stands out the most to me is when I right after I got divorced, it was really hard, and you know, I was getting a lot of really good advice from him when it comes to like how to navigate all of that with kids, and we were just having a really great conversation as we always do on the phone, and the phone call is, you know, abruptly ends, as it always does, by the Bureau of Prisons after like 15 minutes. And I remember sitting there thinking, like, oh man, we were just in the middle of this conversation. I hate it when that happens. But also feeling really appreciative of to have a friend like him. And then, like about 5 minutes later, I get a call back, and it was him, and he had used his extra phone time to call me back, and was super apologetic about us being cut off, as if it was something that he could even control to begin with, or was his fault. I was just so taken aback at the fact that he would do that, because one, he doesn't get a lot of phone time, period. So I knew that was a big deal to like use a second phone call for me. And also the phones are always a hot commodity in prison. And so I know for sure he definitely had to do some negotiation for whoever was waiting in line to use the phone next. So not an easy task. And just gestures like that over the years, he's always giving of himself, and that moment in particular really stood out, and he really was such a help during that time for me, and lots of other times too. But that was just one small story that I wanted to share about Marius for this radio show. So I encourage everyone to get to know him more, read his biography, check out his artwork. It's really beautiful. Feel free to drop him a line, even if you aren't, ready to do like a dedicated pen pal thing. A one-time letter or like postcard goes a long way. That really lifts up the spirits for him when he's feeling down or feeling kind of disconnected from the world.
We recently made a chapbook of Marius's poetry. Here's Panayota reading.
Prison Visit. Prison is hushed and heavy, like water near the ocean's floor, then loud and bitter, like fractious storms lashing the sky. Everything cement and nerves in too many years gone by. The heart requires a place to rest from all its maddened wanderings, the raft of the Medusa tossed and trembling in the sea. Or just this table here, and you across from me, a sunlit sail, and I this aching castaway. I cannot touch you. It is not allowed. Our eyes hold, hanging onto words, until a hand falls upon the back, the narrow hall, the clinking keys, the door, the cell, and under. She steps in. A man is falling through my passing dreams, like Icarus, a disastrous precipitation, repeated endlessly each morning, those broken wings and feathers scattered, molten wax and metamorphosis, as Jezebel alights upon the bed and stretches into being. The alarm clock buzzes, angry bees announce her time, and those praying mantis limbs unfold. Feet touch the floor, she casts a wary eye around an empty room, then stoops to pull the covers straight again, and in that deft small gesture, she has erased the last imprint of a man.
The chapbook will be available on the KiteLine website. You can also email kitelineradio@gmail.com for a PDF or print copy. Comprehensive information and updates can be found at supportmariusmason.org.
You gotta take it down. You gotta clear the sky. It's gotta hit the ground. And we all know why. It's time to take the power down. The concrete runs where the rivers used to. The sun falls through a hole in the sky. Power, coal kills the sky. The mind. lines bleed the land dry. Turns the forest hillside into a mudslide. It makes our mother cry. By the nukes on the lake, we live in mortal fear, and the heron's home becomes a dead zone for 50,000 years. It's time to take the power her down. It's a well, like the lines in the sky, a way of taking and of killing that makes me wanna cry. But once the fuel is cut off, we might be able to try to reinvent our covenant with earth and water and sky, and take the power down.
And now we have a happy update from August 3rd to help round out our show. After fighting for 2 years to get medically necessary care to help enable his transition, Marius has been told that he will start hormone treatment. More updates on this will be broadcast in future episodes as we know more information. Congratulations, Marius. Thanks to everyone who helped contribute to the show. To write Marius, please send mail to Marie Mason, FMC Carswell, P.O. Box 27137. Fort Worth, Texas, 76127. More information on Marius's music, writing to Marius, and Marius's case can be found on our website, kitelineradio.noblogs.org. This has been Kiteline. Anyone affected by the prison system in any form is welcome to write us via our P.O. Box, Kiteline Radio, P.O. Box 2422, Bloomington, Indiana, 47402. Kiteline wants your feedback. You can reach us via email at kitelineradio@gmail.com or find us on Facebook. Are you or someone you care about affected by the prison system? You can call us to record a message or share a story to be played on the air at 812-269-2517. Or you can use this number to record a message to a loved one. You can find previous episodes of Kiteline or more information on our stories at kitelineradio.noblogs.org. Kiteline is intended as a means of communication between people across the prison walls. We are not responsible for all views expressed on the program. WFHB, its contributors, or any affiliates airing this program are not responsible for the views expressed on the show. This has been Kiteline. Join us every Friday at 5:30 p.m. to hear more stories, news, and insights about Indiana's prison system and its impact on our communities. Thank you for listening.
Take the power down.